Hey, I'm Sarah Bivens.
And I'm Matthew Bivens.
And this is the Doing It at Home podcast, the only podcast dedicated to empowering, loving, and honest conversations around home birth. What started as a fun way for us to document our own home birth journey has turned into a platform for sharing birth stories, resources, and education with the goal of empowering mamas and families to make the birth decisions that work best for them.
Plus, we get into the antics, breakdowns, and breakthroughs of our own experience of marriage and parenthood.
All right. You ready, babe?
Yep. Let's do it, mama.
Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to another episode of the Doing It at Home podcast. We have a great birth story coming up for you. A few announcements for the show. So a couple of things. First of all, the Doing It at Home swag shop. Your gear, your shirts, your tanks, your hoodies, your sweatshirts that are rocking your Doing It at Home pride. You can find those right now on our Bonfire website. So go to bonfire.com/store/DIAH podcast or check out the link in our profile of our Instagram and get yourself some Doing It at Home gear. Great gift. The holidays are coming up. By the way, in case you didn't know, great gift for your midwife, doula, birth photographer, fellow birth junkie, or home birth mama. Also for yourself, tons of styles, colors, options for you. So go check that out. And the first round of us doing this ends tomorrow, Wednesday, October 31st, Halloween, and orders of, you know, this first wave will ship out next week. So if you want to get your order as soon as possible, do it now. Don't wait, do it now. Okay. And the link to the shop is also in the show notes of this episode. So go check that out. Another thing is the format of the show, the publishing format, is going to change slightly. So you might notice a little bit, maybe not so much, but over the course of the past few months, we haven't been as consistent with our Saturday episodes. And we decided, we did a little bit of soul searching, and we are just not going to commit to a Saturday episode, essentially. So we will always have Tuesday episodes for you, birth stories. That's a given. And then anything that publishes on a Saturday will be an interview of a birth leader or authority figure or just someone really cool that isn't a birth story specifically, or it'll be us riffing on the mic talking about cool things when we can do that. Because I'm sure you can understand life. And so for our energy and for us to just be our best and bring what we can to the show and our best ability, that just means shifting things up a little bit right now in this season. Not sure if it'll change or when it'll change, but just didn't want to stay on the hook and have you thinking that we're going to have an episode every single Saturday, because we may not have Saturday episodes consistently. But we got you Tuesday. We got you covered with your birth story fix. So don't worry about that, but just letting you know. So that's what's going on there. And I think that's it for announcements. If you have any questions for us, feedback, things you'd like us to cover on the show, types of birth stories, reach out to us. You can email us at hello@diahpodcast.com. You can connect with us on Instagram @diahpodcast. And yeah, I think those are all the ways you can connect with us. And without any further ado, today's birth story, we are talking with Christina Vinsness, and she is sharing her birth story and really her process from moving out of an unplanned cesarean birth with her first child and then the home birth preparation process for her second. And we go through, you know, what she had to work through as far as the fears and the concerns and coming to a place of peace and acceptance that a non-vaginal birth is not a failure. And it's just really beautiful. And I think this is a super helpful conversation for any woman who is planning an HVAC, you know, who had a cesarean and is looking towards experiencing a home birth, whether you're actively planning it or you're just thinking about it for your future, or you've just had some conflict with that trust of your body and that your body can do this. You know, can your body give birth? This is a beautiful conversation for that. And we're so grateful to Christina for hanging out with us. I know you're going to love it. Here it is. Hi, Christina.
Hi. How are you?
We're doing awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, we're doing Fantastic.
And officially we're awesome.
Officially awesome. And we're super excited to have you on the podcast with us today.
Thank you.
So, Christina, yeah, tell us a little bit about you and your family before we get to talking about some babies and bringing them into the world and all that great stuff.
Okay. Yeah. I was born and raised a missionary kid. My husband is from Norway. We met here at ministry school in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is where we still live. And, 10 months after starting dating, we got married. 2.5 months later, we got pregnant with our first, and that's kind of history from there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. And so that's so fun. I mean, that kind of sounds like whirlwind in like a magical romantic way.
Yeah. So yes, it was definitely, we both knew it was the one, and it's been the best decision, like being married to him and having our kids. Like, really, this is amazing. So.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And what is his name and your firstborn's name?
Okay. My husband's name is Yediman, but all of our friends call him Yeti, just like the coolers, because nobody can pronounce his name. and my son's name is Daniel Judah.
So. Beautiful.
And then our youngest and newest addition is Emma Victoria Rose.
Oh, very beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you. So, yeah, we didn't know her gender until we gave birth. So,
oh, that's
that
cool.
Was fun too.
Fun. Yeah. Yeah. We've talked about that for the future. So, that's cool. So share with us what the decision making was like once you were pregnant, or family planning, if it was happening prior, to go with home birth, you know, where that kind of came into your awareness.
Well, having been raised as a missionary kid, I was actually born in China at home.
Wow.
And ended up being delivered by my dad. And then just growing up in that culture, like around other missionaries until I was 14, it was just something everyone did. So I kind of never grew up with the mindset of just going to the hospital. So when I got pregnant, I was like, of course I'm going to do it with a midwife. Mm-hmm. And my husband just thought it was so interesting because he had never heard of home birth. Everybody in Norway just goes to the hospital. And that's just the way they do it. And so with our first, he was kind of hesitant until we sat down and actually like, talked with the midwife and just heard her stories of what's happened when it comes to hospitals here and the type of care that's received and how it is very different than most of Europe. And he just left that conversation. He's like, I don't care what's going to happen. We are having a home birth. I don't know if we could like figure out, like if we can't figure out the finances, we'll find a way. We're having it at home. So he was right on page from our first. So yeah. And then we did the whole Bradley class with our first because we just wanted to be super educated.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Okay, cool. So we went in for a home birth for Daniel's birth, and then share a little bit about that and how that process unfolded.
Well, we went in, we had gotten to 42 weeks, and my midwife could no longer carry my care over unless I was like naturally induced.
Right.
So we started the process of natural induction, and I ended up laboring. I was in labor with him for 48 hours, but at 32 hours, I was like, had to be transferred to the hospital. I did every intervention you possibly could, and I just was not progressing past 5 centimeters. So once it came to the end, Daniel was really in distress, and I was just exhausted, and I was still at 5 centimeters. Yeah. So, C-section really came to be the only option, the last option, last intervention we could have done. Mm-hmm. So, after doing that, it was very hard and emotional because I had like so expected to just have like a easygoing, you know, I'm young and healthy and taking care of myself and So I expected a very different outcome. But I was really grateful for the hospital. Like, it changed my perspective on like being grateful for the hospital and that they're there when you need them. But even after going through my hospital experience, I felt like they're awesome for when you need them, but I always wanted to go back and try for another home birth. Mm-hmm. Even after having him, and kind of have like a victory labor.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that perspective you bring of, you know, shifting a little bit of relationship and mindset around the hospital to, wow, okay, I can firsthand attest to the benefit and the awesomeness of having this available when you need it. And at the same time, I'm clear that, you know, when I do have another baby, if it's going a certain way and I can create a home birth again, that's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. It just seems like you process that all. I mean, it sounds very easy when you just list it out like that, but I'm sure it took a little bit. And I'm sure there were, you know, time and healing that went into all that. But
yeah,
that's a really powerful take to have, I would say.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, even when it came to having our second, our faith is very like big and important to my husband and I. And like, as we were preparing for our second, to come into the world, we really felt like we were supposed to still have some care through like actually go through prenatal care, with the hospital. And I did that for about 20 weeks. And, I was just amazed at how I didn't feel taken care of.
Oh, wow.
And like, having had a midwife take care of me for the first, I was so aware of what they weren't doing and the questions they weren't asking. And when I'd ask questions, it was almost like I was an inconvenience or taking up their time. So at 20 weeks, I actually started meeting with a midwife simultaneously. And so I ended up having like quite a bit of prenatal care, but like the reasoning for like a big reason for doing my care through the hospital as well is because if I needed to go in again, I didn't want to have to go through the same like journey I did with my first.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah. So that was for me, like I ended up having both. But I've known moms who like been braver and just gone with the midwife right afterwards.
Right.
But yes. So for my journey, that's where I ended up having quite a bit of prenatal care.
Gotcha. Well, I think that's brave too. I think exploring your options, I think every action and way you show up is brave. And as long as it's in accordance with what works for you and what you were saying, that faith being important and just tapping into what feels right. And I think that's awesome. And I think that's smart too. Like you said, if you do end up there again, and I don't want to say end up there, if you choose to go there again, or the way the process unfolds, you are in the hospital, wouldn't it be great to have had some rapport, to have some familiarity, like all of that?
Yeah.
So I understand that totally.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's this stigma of like, oh, you tried for a home birth and just like, because I wouldn't have been, if I was not in their system, they would have treated me very differently than had I just always been a part of their system. So yeah, that was my idea of like, I want to go in with good relationships with the hospital if I need them. Cause I don't know, like I never progressed past 5 centimeters and I really dealt with like, is my body able to like give birth again? And like, can I actually have a vaginal birth? And doesn't know how to go any farther than 5 centimeters. So I was like dealing with a lot of like those thoughts. So yeah, knowing if I had to go into the hospital because I wasn't progressing, that was definitely about security, I guess. So yeah.
What I like about what you've shared is I think a lot of times you think you need to choose one or the other. You know, you just need to go with the OB, or need to go with the midwife, or you know, something else. And I love that you decided for yourself what was best for you, and you went for it. And it looked like having dual care. And that's so cool. We haven't heard of a mom or family who've done dual care before. But that's it's like, why not? I mean, if that's what you would like to do, if that's what makes you feel comfortable, go for it. So there's, know, Sarah affirmed you on that bravery, and I just think it's really awesome to be clear on what you want and what works for you, and mm-hmm. go for it. And you really exemplify that.
No, thanks. Mm.
So tell us a little bit about preparing for birth number two. You know, what was going into your mindset, physical preparations, whatnot, towards the end of pregnancy, and how far along were you at the end of that pregnancy?
Yeah. Well, I guess I felt like during my whole pregnancy and like leading up to having her, I was dealing with a lot of just like fears and concerns, mostly because I just hadn't had a vaginal birth. So like, I felt that I was kind of learning to guard my heart in a way of not like, if I don't have a vaginal birth, I'm not a failure, mm-hmm. and kind of like talking through thoughts like that. But then also like, get a little emotional.
It's okay.
Yeah. Dealing with that, I guess physically I felt amazing. I was working up until like a week before I had her, and she was, almost 2 weeks late. So just like her brother, she was, what was it? I think 11 days late. And her brother was 14 days late. Mm-hmm. So, I got very like mentally prepared, and just, I'm ready to just get this baby out. Mm-hmm. And had so much prodromal labor for a week leading up to actually having her that there was a lot of fears that would come into my mind, and I had time to actually like acknowledge them and work on them and like release it and kind of come to a place where like one of my fears, for instance, was I was afraid that my midwife was going to show up and I wasn't going to be past 5 centimeters.
Right.
And it was like a silly fear. And I was like, oh, logically I could be like, oh my gosh, this is so ridiculous. Why would I even be afraid of that? But it was a legitimate fear. And so like, I really acknowledged it, spoke it out, and then kind of got to a place where I was like, okay, just because even if I am still 5 centimeters, it doesn't mean I'm not working. Like my body's obviously got me to 5. And that really made a difference, just like working on that. I guess the thing I notice is that when it comes to birth, so many people just think of it as like a physical experience, and it's so much more of like an emotional and mental and physical. It's like all the realms. It's such a powerful experience. And so, I think just acknowledging the fears I had really, made a difference when it came to the day I started working on her coming.
Gotcha. So tell us about that mm-hmm. day. What was going on?
Yeah, walk us through it.
Well, I had kind of had some consistent contractions, like starting around 11 in the morning, but it was an active labor. So I contacted my sister, a little sister and my sister-in-law who came down from Maryland, and like let them know what was up and that I think it was going to start happening today. And around 9 that night, I actually went into active labor. And I just like my husband and I were just like taking herbs and trying to just help keep it going, and help it along, until about like 11 at night. And then we just were so exhausted, we decided just go to bed and try and actually rest before it gets too intense and I'm not able to rest. And so we would just sleep between contractions until he'd wake up, do alternating pressure on my hip, then it stopped, we'd fall asleep. And we just kind of did that until like 4 a.m. When the contractions had just gotten to a place where they were so intense, I couldn't rest. Like I was just so uncomfortable and I just wanted water. So I wanted to take a shower. And, I went into the shower and was sitting on the birthing ball, and, like I said, my faith is very important to me. So I actually started like praying, and I started singing this song by Jonathan David and Melissa Helser called "You Come, Lazarus Come." And I kind of just started speaking it like, "You came, I knew that you'd come." And it was kind of just speaking to my baby. Mm. Like, "Baby, I know you're going to come. Like, you're not going to be in here forever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how you come." And then, like, there's a verse in there, like, "You're a miracle working God." And I was like, "God, you're a miracle worker." And I just kind of, like, released my labor experience, because I had so many dreams and, like, expected it to go fast. Like, I thought it was going to be over in 4 hours. kind of just, like, preparing myself for that. So it had already been over 4 hours. So in my mind, I was like, okay, this labor's not going the way I kind of, like, thought of it or prayed about it or expected it a little bit. And so I just released it and kind of came to a place of, like, I don't care how long it's going to take. I don't care where I have to go, or if I stay home or have to go to the hospital, like, I'm just going to give this up to you and, like, just be here in the labor. And after that, I was able to, like, actually come out and lay on our couch, and I fell asleep for like 2 hours, and I felt so refreshed. I felt like I got more rest during that, like, 2 hour nap, still waking up between contractions, but, I got so much rest. So come 7 a.m., I felt, like, ready to go for the day. And that's actually when my sister and sister-in-law arrived from Maryland. So they drove down 7.5 hours, like, through the night just to try and make it to my birth. So, yeah. And my sister-in-law is kind of – she's, like, my doula. she came in and, like, made me food and, like, massaged my stomach while, like, put oils on my stomach and gave me a massage during contractions. And I was just kind of, like, walking around and talking and, between contractions. But once, like, 10 or 11 came about, I just kind of entered into a different place of, like, I just needed it to be quiet and I wanted it to be alone and a little bit darker. And I wanted to get into the pool. And so I called up my midwife, explained to her a little bit more about where I was at. And she said that if I got into the pool and contractions kept going, then I could stay. But if they were kind of stalling out, that I'd have to get out of the pool. And that was only because we knew I had stalled at 5 centimeters with my first. She was my midwife for my first too.
Great.
We knew if I was at 5 centimeters or below, if you get in water, it drags out your labor. Mm. And so, just not knowing where I was at, I was kind of like, let's just test out, see how you do in the water. And I got in and, my contractions ended up spreading apart, but they got a lot more intense, and I just felt so, like, comfortable and relaxed there, like, that it was fine to stay in the water. And I guess it was, like, an hour later, my midwife came with her apprentice and just kind of, like, filled it out and asked if I wanted to be checked, and I just, like, flat out said no. I was like, no, I do not want to be checked. And she's like, okay, that's fine. And she ended up going into our master bedroom, which is, like, down the hall in a room, and was whispering to her apprentice, kind of just, like, explaining what was, like, why I said no so, like, aggressively. Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah, she's just saying no because she doesn't want to hear that she's 5 centimeters, but it doesn't even matter because, like, that shows that she's still working. And she had checked me after, like, a couple days before going into labor. And she's like, and I checked her, and if she's at 5 centimeters, that's grown because she was only, like, a fingernail when I checked her last time. And she had no idea I could hear her,
oh, that's interesting.
Hearing that, yeah, because she was whispering, And but when you're in labor, like your senses are so heightened. I like felt like she could have just might as well had the conversation in the room I was in, in the office. But I heard that and it kind of like reminded me of like, okay, you're right. That even if I'm at 5 centimeters, it doesn't mean I'm not working and my body's not working. Like my body does work. And I just like looked over at my husband and just like cried. I was like, wow, I can just tell just her being here. It feels so different than our first. Like it's just a different feeling, a different sense. Like I'm actually working. Like this is my body's working and this labor is going differently. And I can just tell. And so my midwife came back in and I told her I would be fine if she checked me. And so we went out of the office, out of the birthing pool, down the hall to my bedroom, and everybody was there. My midwife, her apprentice, my husband, my little sister, my sister-in-law. It was actually quite a large amount of people. But she checked me and she's like, okay, I'll tell you how much you have left. And I was like, okay. And she's like, 3 centimeters. And I was like, okay, wait a second. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
I can't do math. So I was like, where am I at then? She's like, here at 7. And my husband and I like looked at each other at the bed. And we're like, we did it. We've done it. And then she's like, well, not really. You still have to go 3 centimeters. Like, oh yeah. Okay. Wait, it's not done yet. But like we celebrated that victory. It was like, wow, we didn't even hear 5. Like we thought I might stall at 5. And so just like having her come and check and I was passed was, so like exciting. And afterwards she's like, okay, maybe just try and go and actually walk around and get things going. And she's like, would you be interested in, and Harry. Did I mess it up?
That's okay. We'll hop back right in. We'll take a pause. And then you said, take a walk. And I think you were saying something you might want to try, you know, what your midwife was suggesting, but we can hop right in there.
Okay. Take a walk and try and just get things going. And, she's like, maybe go show your sisters around your neighborhood. And I was like, yeah, I do not want to walk around my neighborhood.
Not a tour guide.
I don't really want to put on clothes, but I'm going to put on clothes. I was like, I guess I'll like walk out to my backyard and I'd feel fine walking in my backyard. And my midwife then like asked if I want her to stay. And at that time I was like, I have no idea how long this is going to be. I don't want her just waiting around on me because I kind of feel like I thought of her time as so valuable and I didn't want to drag it out because then I thought I'd feel pressured to like perform in a way.
I could see that.
And so I was like, no, I really don't want you. She's like, it's totally normal for midwife to say you're at 7 centimeters. And I was like, yeah, but I think it's going to be a while. Like you can leave. And her 3-year-old daughter was here along with my 2-year-old son.
Aww.
And then, my sister-in-law's youngest 6-month-old. So there was like a good amount of kids here. Like there's kids here. And she's like, okay, I'm going to take my daughter and drop her off and then just let me know where you're at. And like my midwife basically drove off. I walked into my backyard and, was squatting down next to a plant telling my sister-in-law, I was like, I can't believe I have plants that have like survived. And, and at that moment my water broke and I was like, oh, my water broke. And, my husband was so excited. He's like, oh my gosh, it's awesome. Your water broke and you watered our plants. Like you killed the down. I stood up and came back inside and like stripped down and got back into the pool because I just so wanted water. I just like felt the best in the water. It's a little girl. And I labored in there for a good bit until my midwife came back. And she checked and I was still only at 7 centimeters. And so she's like, I think we have to do some positions where we actually like turn the baby, because she was kind of aligned more towards like the side of my stomach and not straight down. And she's like, I think we need to try and get her to your baby to move, so that you could push her out. We didn't know the gender, so you could push the baby out, but we all felt like it was a girl. And so I was in our bedroom, like doing lunges onto our bed and like trying to work during every contraction, and then like fully resting, like almost falling asleep. I would almost fall asleep between every contraction. And I was in the middle of a contraction at once, and I heard my midwife go like, oh my gosh, oh no. And she jumped up and like ran out of the room and closed the door. And I had no idea what was going on. And I was like, I don't even care. I'm just going to try and like labor. And I think it was a good little while later, I was like, can I just please get back in the pool? And my midwife's like, well, about that, your little sister accidentally started siphoning out the pool. And so there's like a huge puddle of water in our office. Where it was at. And she's like, so we actually had to like clean that up before we were able to let you get back into the water. Mm. And now I think it's just so funny, but I ended up just kind of doing most of the like a lot of the hard work there, I guess, like for about 3 hours in the afternoon, just lunging and resting and relaxing, and the contractions were getting so intense. Like I never remembered them being so intense with my first, except when I had Pitocin. And so it felt like having a baby for the first time in a lot of ways, just because I had not experienced so much. And I didn't remember how much work it is to give birth. I got to a place and I was just like laying on the bed, and I kind of was frustrated because the baby didn't seem to have moved much out of position, because I could still see where baby was lying on my stomach. And I just rubbed my stomach and prayed, and it was just like, I just speak alignment over you, baby. That you're going to come out. And my husband was there and like prayed along with me. And can you hear me still?
Yeah.
Okay. And after that, it was just a couple more contractions, and then the midwife was like, okay, the water's ready. You can actually like get back into the pool. And so I got in with my husband, and contractions were so intense, and it got so much harder. And I was just thinking in my mind, I was like, I just want an epidural, like right now. I just wanted an epidural. And then I was so proud of myself for how logical I was, because at the same time I was like, wait a second, that means I have to get out of the pool again and put on clothes and drive in the car. Oh God. And then I have to get checked in. And I was like, come around time. It's going to be 3 hours before I get that epidural. I do not want an epidural. I just want pain to end. so I just kind of got to a place where I was like, okay, I can't go anywhere. So I just have to be here where I'm at. And I'm sorry. I got distracted because of my baby.
Oh, no worries.
It happens.
Yes.
Your baby wants your attention?
Yes, what? Who knew? Okay. Can you remind me of where I was at?
Yeah. Super intense contractions in the pool, and then you had just kind of come to terms with yourself about the epidural situation. Like, you rationalized all that. You're like, no, I just want this to go away. So you locked back in.
So I locked back in, and I was like completely silent my whole, like that whole entire time. I never verbalized it, never talked. I remember my husband, he was like eating some like nuts during that time too. And oh my gosh, I was like, he was so sweet and so like present there at the time, but he would chew during my contractions. And I was like, you might as well be like screaming in my ear right now. So loud. And he was like trying, he's like, I tried moving my head away so it wouldn't be as loud. And I was like, I heard my midwife in the other room. I was like, why wouldn't I hear you chewing next to my ear? this is a conversation we obviously had after she came out. But the contractions, I was like locked in, and I was just so at peace. Even though it was intense, I was so at peace. And there was no fear or concern. And my midwife looked at me and she's like, do you actually want the kids to leave? And I realized, like, I hadn't really noticed that there was three kids in my house playing, but my subconscious had noticed. And I was like, yeah, I think I want the kids to leave the house. And so she went out and asked them, and a friend of mine actually took my son and my sister-in-law's daughter to her house, like 10 minutes up the road. And as soon as they pulled out of the driveway, that's when I started my uncontrollable urges to push. And I was kind of like thinking, I was like, is this faking it? Am I being dramatic? Like, this is interesting. And my midwife looks at my husband and she's like, she has no control over her body. Like, that is uncontrolled. That's what uncontrollable urges to push is. And my husband's like, oh my gosh. But I did that. I was in that position for, like, I felt like a long time, just allowing my body to just push, but not actually doing anything, just kind of still trying to relax in a bit, in a way. And then I came and I was like, I really feel like it feels better to push with my body at this time. And my midwife said, okay, let me check and make sure everything's out of the way. So we don't want your cervix to swell. And so she checked and she's like, oh yeah, the baby's head's right there.
Wow.
And she's like, do you want to feel it? And I went and felt it, and she's like, that really hard thing, that's your baby's head. And now I was so like guarding myself, and I guess in a way of being like, until this is over, I can't get excited about it, because that's going to use up energy, and I do not have energy to get excited about a head being there, because I don't know when. Like, this baby's still not here. I still have to push this baby out. And it wasn't even like 10 minutes. And I had actually, from the time I felt her head to when I actually had pushed her out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was a very short amount of time pushing. Mm-hmm. And I was just, like, I'm so in shock. I was like, oh my gosh, like, we did it, and the baby's here. And I started like playing down, like, at the private, I was like, okay, is it a girl, is it a boy? And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I think it's a girl. And my midwife's like, yeah, it's a girl. And I was like, yeah, I don't feel a penis. And she's like, yeah, we were all right, it's a girl. And just, I felt so at, I guess, like a daze of like, wow, I cannot believe I just, like, it's done. Like, I've pushed her out. Like, the baby's here. It was, it still makes me cry sometimes, like, thinking about it. And just,
of course.
yeah, the joy of that. So,
oh,
that's so amazing.
Wow. So did it feel like victory?
Yes. And, I mean, that's her middle name. So.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So Victoria. So I was like, this is my victorious birth. And yeah, absolutely. Even though it ended up being a 21-hour labor, it was still half the time of my first, which was 43. And I felt so excited to know, wow, I not only can give birth and did it and it was a beautiful experience and stuff. I was like, but I also know when it came to my first and having a C-section, I was like, wow, I actually know I did everything I could. It wasn't my body's broken, but it kind of also brought a lot of healing to that of thinking that I don't know if I can actually, if my body can actually give birth. And now having my baby girl here and having gone through that, I was like, I did everything I could for my first. And sometimes you need help. But that doesn't mean you're broken. And it doesn't mean every time has to be the same after that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think that's really important to remember for those mamas listening right now who are healing or working through processing a previous birth experience that maybe didn't go exactly the way that you envisioned to begin with, or you're feeling that thing of your body being broken or malfunctioning or that you failed, mm-hmm. Any of those things that come up. I feel like what you just shared is a really powerful thing to hold on to and to, nurture and feed that to work through that, and that it can be different another time around, or even if there isn't another time around, if you're complete with having children, that you can still work through that and find other ways to connect with your body and to heal that experience.
Yeah. So true. So good.
Wow, that was amazing, Christina.
You are so awesome, Christina. You're so brave.
Aw, thank you.
So powerful. And now this mama of two, what I can only imagine, I can't wait to see pictures of these half Norwegian beauties. I'm sure they're just the most gorgeous children ever.
Blue eyes.
Of course.
I love that Emma was hanging out with us during this conversation,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she got to chime in.
Yes, she did.
It's only fair. We're talking all about her, so it makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep.
Christina, thank you so much. Your whole family, we appreciate you for sharing your story, your victory with us that I know so many mamas are going to get something out of. So thank you, really, truly.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I didn't know that there was such a negative vibe when it came to home births until I got pregnant and actually started talking to a lot of people and realized never mentioned that conversation around that person. And so when I was pregnant with Emma, I actually heard one of your guys' podcasts, and even though it wasn't I was like, wow, it was beautiful. Her birth story is so different than mine. I'm dealing with different emotions. It was still so encouraging to hear just how she rested in with the contractions and took them in as a wave and was present her whole labor. And I think that was something I want to be present my whole labor, which I felt like I was, just in the moment. I was time didn't exist. I was just there working. And so, what you guys are doing is really encouraging. And I wanted to share my story a little bit of, just to help other moms who just don't even know if it's an option to have a VBAC, even if they decide to do it at a hospital, having a VBAC is totally an option.
Right.
So,
well, you've contributed to that conversation and
absolutely.
To that narrative. So yeah.
Yeah. So
we are grateful.
Thank you guys.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Ooh.
Quick note about the Doing It at Home podcast. Matthew and I are not doctors or medical professionals, and nothing we say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. If you have medical or health-related questions, please take them to a trained professional. We're here simply to entertain you with stories and conversations about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved, Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.